Welcome to another installment of On the Road Special Edition, hosted by Stevie Kim. She's traveled to one of the most beautiful Renaissance villas in Slovenia, where 13 producers from two countries have gathered to take part in the masterclass, Grand Vertical Tasting of the Finest Rebula Wines. Listen in and enjoy the conversations on this Slovenian adventure in wine. And if you feel like watching the video, just visit our YouTube channel, Mama Jumbo Shrimp. Hi guys, I'm Joy Livingston, and I am the producer of the Italian Wine Podcast. Thank you for listening. We are the only wine podcast that has been doing a daily show since the pandemic began. This is a labor of love, and we are committed to bringing you free content every day. Of course, this takes time and effort, not to mention the cost of equipment, production, and editing. We would be grateful for your donations, suggestions, requests, and ideas. For more information on how to get in touch, go to italianwinepodcast.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome to Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Stevie Kim, and this is the special On the Road edition in Brda, B-R-D-A, and we're talking mostly about Rebula, which is really Ribolla Gialla in Italian. So right now, in front of me, we have Christian Kebba. Is that correct?
Right.
Finally, an easy name. And he's a winemaker from this area. He has a very, very small parcel, 1.7 hectares, is that
exactly,
correct?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Right. And how old are you?
I'm 33 years old.
33, year of Jesus.
Exactly. They are my last years.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I have to bring them.
Yeah. You have to like resurrect or do something miracle. Listen, but Christian, first of all, I have a bone to pick with you. Do you think you're Angela Guy or something?
No.
What's going on? You don't have a website. What is going on?
I'm too small to have a website.
Oh, come on. Nobody is too small to have a website.
Probably in the future, but till now I don't need
it. I produce just
3,000 bottles. That is just a small amount to have a website.
So you're just drinking the wine by yourself mostly?
With some friends, yes.
Yeah, with some friends. All right, invite me. Yeah. I like your wines, by the way. Listen, Christian, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Before you became the age of Jesus Christ, what were you doing?
I study enology here in the area, in Cividale, and I am a son of a winemaker.
A famous winemaker.
Yeah, and also my grandfather was a winemaker. This is
we have
300 years of history of winemaking.
That's it? 300
yeah.
years?
Yeah, we came from, our family came from Wien, Austria.
Mm-hmm.
And then we stopped here in Brda, in Collio, and start to make not just wine in the beginning. It was a classic farm with vegetables, fruit trees and everything. But basically from after Second World War, my grandfather start to bottle the first vintages and make a little bit more bottles. Then we have a good history of winemaking. When I finished school, I make some experience around the world, America, Australia, and also if I know that my English is not very good because a lot everywhere.
You lived in all these countries, and your English is that bad?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
No, it's bad because everywhere when I go, there are Italian people, and I just speak Italian.
Nice. That's so Italian. So you're very Italian in that way.
In that way, yes. But my first language is Slovenian. I am a big mix. I know Franze Prešeren, like I know Dante Alighieri, and then my culture is basically a mixed culture. But what I also told you before, I feel that I am from this area, from Brda, Collio, from these hills, from an area that in the past was no borders, and now after the Second World War becomes these borders.
But now there's no border again.
Now, finally, no.
All right.
Have to go faster as possible together another time.
Right. But where do you live? Where do you live? Do you live in the Slovenian side or do you live in Italian side?
Actually, I live in the Italian side.
Mm-hmm.
Also because I live now with my girlfriend and she's from...
She's Italian.
She's Italian and this is...
Oh, so you're going to become like 100% Italian because, you know, you will have no say in the matter. It's going to be just your girlfriend.
I don't think...
So I know you were saying that actually we should say hello to somebody we both know. Do you remember?
Henry.
Yes, Henry. Henry. Ciao, Henry. Ciao, Henry Duval.
It's Henry.
He's listening to us right now. He won't reply, but yes.
Hello, Henry.
Hello,
how
Henry.
Are you?
Say something. No, he won't say anything. Anyway, so you know Henry and you know Jeff Porter because...
I worked for a very short time at Del Posto.
How short?
That was 1 month.
Oh, they fired you or something? What happened?
It was just a fast experience.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay, all right. So listen, let's talk a little bit about your winery.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is, 3,000 bottles is a very small winery. That was a hectare and a half, basically. That was from my grandfather, Roman. And he was always living there. In the beginning, the old vineyard was made from my grandfather by the cow that is very with the old system of making also and
what?
Working with the cow
with a cow like moo cow
in the beginning of working on that vineyard when he was young that is
uh-huh.
a very and also because in the beginning the people was more poor than now and he left me this vineyard some years ago. And I start to make my wine, the wine that I like. I start with this maceration wine that with skin contact. What I decide to do is a blend because history of our area and also history basically of all Europe was blend. It's funny, but also some varieties that now we know. Like they are pure varieties. Before phylloxera was just blends like
you mean,
Malvasia. Like
you mean phyll
yeah, because the vineyards was full of other varieties,
mm-hmm.
and this becomes for a lot of European varieties that now we call with the name of a grape, but in the past was not just one grape,
monovarietal,
but was full blends, basically phyll blends, basically.
Right.
And for this reason, I want to also understand the old Rebula, because the old Rebula was a little bit different. And I studied this and go to this blend and know the classic system of growing. For this reason, because I think that biodiversity will be also in the future very important on winemaking and wine growing. And then I want to go in this ancestral concept of farming, mm-hmm. basically. This is my idea that also in Collio, where I work at my father's, the same concept is from Berta. The differences of the two wineries, basically, is not the soil. It's a little bit of the climate, but in the Italian part, the wine has more percentual of Tokaj, that is now Friulano, but and in Berta here, it's Rebula, because this is the principal variety of this area.
So you are making a small production, right? 3,000 bottles, but this field blend is coming actually from old vines.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
How old are the vines?
Some has 40 years. Some other has also 80 years old. The oldest one.
So you're going to keep your old vines for some time still. Are they're still fertile and they're producing?
Yes,
grapes?
Yes. Oh. 8 years seems very young vines still.
Not 80. 80. 80.
Yeah, 80. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not so young.
No, I told you.
Yeah.
Seems very young.
Yeah. So tell me about your winemaking technique.
Yeah.
Because we've tasted, how many wines did we taste this morning in the masterclass? I think we've tasted...
40?
Yeah,
14?
something like that,
yeah,
40.
Yeah.
And your wine was the very last wine.
Yeah, it was the...
Why was that the very last wine of the very last flight?
But it was the last one, also because it was the only one that has not a pure 100% Rebula, and that is right, that was at the end also to feel that is something different. And but it's also a macerated wine, that means that has a big structure, big importance, and that in a good situation that they put it at the last part of the flight. I make a 1 month maceration on the skin and also on the stalks. because now it's some years that I work with the whole bunch that the fermentation is made, all the interior grape, because it makes in the beginning in the a small carbonic fermentation inside, and then I slowly broke the essence that makes fermentation all the liquid is possible, and that at the end of fermentation I press everything, and this stays for 2 years in the wood barrels to make more round the tannins, and after.
But is this technically semi-carbonic?
It's semi-carbonic, right?
Yeah, okay.
It's a semi-carbonic fermentation. Mm-hmm. I start with a small amount of this in the beginning, and then I feel that the aromatics are better. And also in the mouth, is not a classic maceration that is very large, but becomes a little bit more longer wine. Seems more acidic, also if it's not more acidic with the percentual of pH or acidity, but is a longer wine, a little bit more bitter.
Right.
But basically I like this bitterness and that and this situation also because it's a little bit more equilibrated, because you have the beginning that the maceration make the larger part, then the bitterness, then the tannin, and then the acidity. That is everything together in
a
cylinder. I don't know what it's difficult to speak about this just without a glass of wine in front of
you
us.
You have a glass of wine in front of you.
This is of a neighbor.
Oh, okay.
I drink the
neighbor's wine.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the structure of the wine, first of all, you know, Carolyn Gilby, the master of wine who was leading the tasting today, she kept on repeating this concept. And in particular to your wine, it's natural, but there's no oxidation. I thought that was very, very interesting. What do you think about her comment?
I don't think that natural means that has to be oxidated.
I guess because a lot of the people do think like natural wine is associated with, you know, just everything, let it being natural and be fully exposed to oxygen too.
Yeah, I think that it's made like a natural wine because I have a very small amount of sulfur just at the end that is made like a completely a very small quantity. And the interesting thing is that I don't have this big color because it's not a very big extraction during the maceration. And for this reason, the wine is an orange wine, but has also some green and yellow color parts. It's like more a Pompelmo style. That,
grapefruit.
Yeah, grapefruit, right.
That's interesting, yeah. Grapefruit color.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of
but also
orange.
Taste more also sometimes.
Yeah, what is the taste? Like, what are your personal tasting notes for your wine?
I think that this will be okay. Grapefruit and apricot. That is also classic for maceration. And I'm not very expert for explanation about the flavors and tastes, but and then every vintage has also his particular changing flavors and tastings. Yeah.
So let me read you Carolyn Gilby's tasting notes. So she said, intriguing natural wine from a field blend of 40 to 80 year old vines with the majority of Rebula. But in fact, Rebula is only 50%, right?
Exactly.
And then Zeleni Sauvignon. What is that?
This is in the old Tokaj Friulano, or now in Friuli Friulano, or Sauvignon Vert. These are all names from this.
Even right? Zeleni Sauvignon. So
exactly.
What did you put? What did you have to put Zeleni Sauvignon? Because the local variety.
Because it's not like Friulano, you can call just in Friuli Venezia Giulia, and the other places in the world you can't use this name, and then you can use Sauvignon or Sauvignon Vert or Yakot, and these are all the names from.
And then Malvasia 10%.
And this Malvasia Istriana. Yeah.
Malvasia Istriana.
Yeah.
And then she wrote, it was fermented naturally in cement tanks with skins and stalks.
Yeah.
Stalks, do you mean the stems?
Stems, yeah.
Stems for a month, then aged in large neutral oak for 2 years.
Yes.
So how big are your...
Seven hectoliters and a half.
Okay, so...
There is a classic barrel, big barrel, for our area that was called Stretin and was the classic for small wineries. Just the nobility has very big one, and usually this small now are oak, but mm-hmm. in the past was a cherry or some other trees because it was a little bit so expensive to have this. And this was the classic for this area, the hectoliters for this area.
And then she continues, it's rich amber and slightly cloudy with a complex bouquet of apricot, honeysuckle, and bitter orange pith, and a hint of wild herbs. What kind of herbs is she talking about? Wild herbs.
I have to ask her.
No, what about you? Like, are there any herbs in your?
But basically, it's a little bit of a greener part that derives from basically from the part of the Tokaj Friulano variety that brings a little bit more this greener part.
Right, but herbs like I feel like more like herbs like sage or thyme or rosemary. Not wild herbs. I don't know what that is. Flavor recalls tangy orange and apricot, mulled wild herbs. She loves wild herbs. And there's some salty, savory grip on the finish. By the way, thank you, Carolyn Gilby. I've completely read your tasting. Now, I love the way this was organized because the person who was leading, again, Carolyn Gilby, Master of Wine, I think she did a fantastic job. She obviously knows the area very, very well. And she provided her tasting notes. And then you gave the technical sheet and then a bit of history about the winery. I thought it was very well organized. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I love the brochure that you handed out. So I think it was
complete.
Yeah, so I loved it. I loved
very short but very complete.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah. So listen, Christian, do you want to tell us a little bit about your the other winemakers that I've spoken to today? They were more older than you are. They were way beyond the age of Jesus Christ. Okay. So actually, Simone is the age of Jesus Christ. The videomaker over there.
Sei dell'87.
Yeah. So how do you see the younger generation of winemakers from this particular area? And maybe are there any differences between this area and Kolya, for example? So like kind of the Italians and the Slovenians, like are there differences in the next generation? I mean, I'm considering you as way younger than I am, so the next generation of the new generation of the, not maybe the next, but the new generation of the winemakers. How do you see that happening right now?
There is a lot of guys with, like me, like also younger than me, mm-hmm. then all the two areas has a lot of young, and the new generation is very big. Mm-hmm. I think that we will make a very good job, but I think that it's important that our generation change totally what was the generation before. I have this idea because I always made this in my life, but sometimes the thinking, old thinking, was too close. Also, when I speak about just the two nations. And then this border has to be opened and changed, and we need that the new generation think by his their brain, not what was before. This is very important for me. And yeah. Also go is important that the new generation has to go around the world and see what changes around the world, because the world now changed very fast. We have to understand what is going on, but with the place where we are, because also I remember my father and other people was going in Burgundy in the past, went in Burgundy, Bordeaux, everywhere around the world. But when they come back, they just make like a picture and make always the same what was in that area, like 10,000 plants per hectare. Just a picture bringing in the area. We have to understand what we are, but we have to understand the energy of other areas. The want to be something.
Right, right.
And this is what I hope that our generation is going to do now.
I love that you are trying to find your soul, anima, right?
Yeah.
Right, so I love that. When I speak to you, like I sense such a note of enthusiasm and passion for what you're doing. And I want to congratulate you with this tiny winemaking experience that you're doing.
Thank you.
And I wish you the best of luck. And thank you so much for sharing your wine today with us. And of course, you know, you have a big, you know, support from your family, your father, the legacy and all of that good stuff. But still, I think what you said just now is really important, that the younger generation still has to travel, see other places, work in other places, even if it's just for 1 month, right, to have different experiences. So then they can bring it back home, but not just copy and paste, to make into something of their own. And I think that's a good place to end the podcast. Would you like to say anything else to our audience?
I don't know now, but if it will be Henry with some questions or...
But listen, you don't have a website. How do people find you?
On Facebook. I'm Christian Keber.
It's also very easy. Yeah, try to find him, people. I don't know how you're going to... How do people find your wines to buy?
They found around the world some bottles, like 2 bottles per country.
Okay, we'll work on Christian Keber Winery. Thank you so much
for joining us.
Thank
you for your time, and thank you for this speaking about our area.
All right. Great to speak to you and meet you, Christian. Good luck, and that's it. Signing out, and it's a wrap. Ciao, ragazzi.
Ciao.
Ciao, ciao, Henry.
Ciao, Henry.
And that's a wrap for this episode of On the Road Special Edition Slovenia with Stevie Kim. If you enjoyed this journey through the world of Rebula, Ribolla Gialla, please make sure to like and follow our channel or check out our other On the Road special editions. You can also watch this podcast on our YouTube channel, Mama Jumbo Shrimp. Chin chin.